This is a BloomerBoomer.com podcast with our health and fitness expert, Cody Sipe, PhD. Cody is a recognized leader and expert on functional exercise for mature adults. He's a professor, researcher, award-winning fitness professional, and owner of Miracles Fitness, a personal training facility specializing in clients over 50. Cody's co-host, Andy Asher.
Hi, everybody. Well, for the past couple of podcasts, we've been talking with our fitness editor, Cody Sipe, about different forms of exercise to stay healthy, to stay in shape. As you know, he works over at the University of Arkansas Medical School. He's a PhD, and he studies things like body composition and functional ability in older patients. And the thing that we've been breaking this down to are the what he calls the three components of exercise: cardio-aerobic, resistance and strength, flexibility. That's what he's going to talk to us about today, and I'm going to get right into it. I think you'll enjoy it. Cody, great to talk to you again. And on our last podcast, we focused on exercise as it pertains to the cardiovascular part. And then today we were going to focus a little bit more on the weight side, I guess. So maybe you can just explain how the two work together and the importance of it all.
Sure. So, you know, there are three really primary components of fitness. There's the cardio or the aerobic exercise, the resistance or strength training, and then flexibility. So, you know, cardio exercise is really great for improving a number of health variables that we typically think of, you know, such as blood pressure and cholesterol and blood sugar and et cetera. And it's kind of pretty much considered kind of the bread and butter of an overall program to improve health. And resistance exercise, however, is a focus on the muscles specifically. So cardiovascular exercise, like it sounds, a lot of heart health benefits. Resistance exercise or strength training, a lot of muscular benefits. So that's really the difference between the two.
So the resistance could be done through a weight, through elastic bands and that type of thing, or any imaginative way that it works for you?
That's right. So we'll talk about the overall guidelines for how to perform a really good resistance program. And then we'll look at some of the options, which you mentioned could include the resistance tubing or the exercise bands, could include body weight or strength machines, a lot of different options that are available for people.
And I guess in your profession, you talk about the importance of people over 55 getting that kind of resistance exercise as well as the resistance. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So there is a huge focus on cardiovascular exercise for people as they get older. And rightly so, it is important. However, resistance exercise is extremely important as well. And so I really, really highly encourage people to get into some sort of resistance exercise program. It lends itself to improving your function as you get older, as opposed to just your overall health. So function you can kind of consider as your doability. You know, what is my ability to do stuff, to continue to do the things that I want to do and enjoy doing or have to do, you know, as I get older. And so really the muscles are a key part of that. So improving and maintaining your strength as you get older is just really critical. And cardiovascular exercise doesn't really focus on that.
So the two work hand in hand together as a total exercise of a regimen, you might say.
Yes, they really do. Yeah, they're both important.
Great. Well, in this segment or in this podcast, we're going to focus a little bit more on weights, or resistance, as you say. So why don't we start with that?
Okay. Well, for cardiovascular exercise, you know, the guidelines are pretty set, and that is you want to accumulate about 30 minutes of moderate intensity exercise on most days of the week. So that's about 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise during the week. And so that really holds true for just about everybody. However, the resistance exercise guidelines are they're a little bit more varied. There's a little bit more variability depending on what your particular situation is. So the general guidelines are that you would perform resistance exercise 2 to 3 days per week, and that you would perform anywhere from 1 to 3 sets of 8 to 15 repetitions for all major muscle groups. So let me kind of break that down a little bit and give a little bit more specific guidance on that. So the 2 to 3 days per week, you, unlike cardio exercise, which you could do every day and be fine with, your body adapts to that very well. Since resistance exercise challenges muscles specifically and really overloads those specific muscles, they need recovery time. And so you don't want to work the same muscle in a resistance program 2 days in a row. You want at least a day of rest in between. And many people prefer even, you know, 2 days of rest in between. So that's where the 2 to 3 days per week comes from, is it needs to be spread out during the week to allow your muscles to recover. And there's actually some good research showing that for some people, 2 days per week might actually be better than 3 days per week, simply because they need more recovery time. And so, you know, they need that healing. They are, you know, in essence, breaking down the muscle, and so it needs time to rebuild and recover. And then it rebuilds and recovers a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger than it was before. So that's the benefit from that. So, go ahead.
So a 65-year-old would have a different recovery time than, let's say, maybe an 85-year-old.
That's right. And also depending on your level of health and your level of fitness. So, you know, the more deconditioned you are, the worse your health is, then, you know, doing the 2 days per week is probably challenging enough compared to somebody who, say, it has some more specific goals related to their fitness. Maybe they're already active and they're wanting to really, you know, improve on their strength or improve on some sports performance activity. And so they could do 3 days per week and recover fine. So it, you know, depends on the situation. So I always tell people, hey, start with 2 days per week and see how that goes, you know, and then go from there. Now, as far as the sets and repetitions go, and a lot of people get confused about this, and so let's take just a push-up as an example. So it doesn't mean you're able to do push-ups or that you would want to do push-ups, but people know what that is. So, you know, in a push-up, you kind of start on the floor, you know, in the up position with your arms extended. You then lower your chest to the floor and then push up, and that's one. So that's one repetition. And so if you were to do that 10 times in a row, then that would be 10 repetitions, and that would be one set. So you've just completed one set of 10 repetitions, and then you would rest a little bit, allow your muscle to recover for maybe a minute or two, and then you could do another set of 10 repetitions. So you've done two sets of 10 repetitions. So those are sets and repetitions, or what we call sets and reps. So when you think about the major muscle groups in your body, okay, then you have things like your legs, and you can break down your legs further and talk about, you know, your calf muscles. You can talk about the front of your legs, which is your thighs, and the back of your legs, which is your hamstrings, or looking at your buttocks, your chest, your abdominals, your shoulders, and your back muscles. You can then also look at your arms, and you have, you know, your bicep muscles in the front to do curls, the tricep muscles in the back. So if you were to address every major muscle group in a workout, then you do about 12 different exercises. If you were going to challenge, you know, one muscle group with a specific exercise, which is how some people do it.
Now, would you challenge all of that at one setting, or would you break that up over a number of different days, for example?
Yeah, great question. So typically, if you're going to do it 2 days per week, what that means is you want to train or challenge those major muscles twice per week. So if you are only training twice per week, then you would want in one session to challenge all those muscle groups. And so what that would mean is that you would do one exercise per muscle group. So you do 12 exercises, and you, for every exercise, you would do two sets of about 10 to 12 repetitions. So let's take an arm curl as an example. Again, that's an easy one to understand, or a bicep curl. So you can hold a dumbbell. You could do your arm curl 10 times. Okay, that would be one set of 10 repetitions. You could then rest for a minute and go back and do an arm curl again, one set of 10 repetitions. So you've now covered that muscle. You've done two sets of 10 repetitions. You can move on to the next muscle. So that's how a lot of people approach it, you know, as they kind of break it down specifically. Now, some exercises train more than one muscle group simultaneously. So if you think about standing up from a chair, okay, well, that uses a lot of different leg muscles all at one time. And so instead of just isolating one particular muscle group, you're now doing a combination, and this is called a compound exercise, in which you're training multiple muscle groups at the same time in one exercise. And so you can do a mixture of kind of these isolation exercises that challenge one particular muscle group, and you can do these compound exercises that challenge multiple muscle groups simultaneously. But basically, just means you want to at least challenge every major muscle group with an exercise and do two sets of 10 to 12 repetitions for that muscle group. So as an example, if you were going to go to a gym, let's say, and do a workout, then your workout might include something like a leg press, which would challenge multiple muscle groups, a leg extension for your thighs, a leg curl for your hamstrings, a chest press for your chest, a rowing exercise for your back, a shoulder press for your shoulders, an arm curl for your biceps, and arm extensions for your triceps. That would be an example of a gym-based routine. But you don't have to go to the gym to do that. So there are a lot of different options that are available to you. So you can use your body weight. You can use dumbbells at home. You can use objects that you have at home as long as they're heavy enough for you to lift. You can use resistance bands or resistance tubing. I really like resistance tubing. I use this with a lot of clients. It gives you a lot of great benefits. Plus, it's portable. You know, the bands are light. They can just fold up into a bag or a suitcase, and you can take them places. And they're very versatile. I mean, you can pretty much train every muscle group with bands pretty effectively. And this includes people that are frail and have lots of difficulties, and it also includes elite athletes. You know, the whole spectrum can be trained using what we call rubberized resistance, or these resistance bands, resistance tubing. So that's really what I highly recommend to people to do at home. And it's really, I believe in them so much that in the exercise program I developed, the Never Grow Old exercise program, I pretty much use resistance bands for almost all my exercises. We do some body weight and dumbbell exercises as well, but pretty much it's built around the resistance bands because they are so versatile, they're flexible, and they're pretty cheap. You know, you can get them for less than $10. You can get a really good exercise band, and you only need a couple of them to really challenge yourself in different ways.
So if you're traveling on the road or something, a lot easier to take some resistance bands around with you than a suitcase of dumbbells.
Absolutely. And for a lot of older adults who are active traveling quite a bit, I mean, that's the answer. You know, why go somewhere and have to pay an extra fee to go to a gym, or skip out on your workout for a week or two and lose your benefits, when you can easily, you know, pack a couple of these resistance tubes or bands in your suitcase and do your workout in your hotel room or at, you know, your friend's house or family member's house, wherever you are. That's just really convenient to have.
Is there a way that someone can find out, based on their age and all this sort of thing, how much they should do at each sitting? In other words, how do you know if you're doing too much or not enough?
That's a really good question. We typically base let's take the amount of weight you're lifting, right? Obviously, somebody can lift a lot heavier weight than you can, and you can lift a lot heavier weight than someone else, right? There's kind of people are at all different levels. So how do you know how much to do? That's really based on the number of repetitions that you perform. So I typically recommend for people that 10 to 12 repetition range, and that's what I tell them to stay in. So if I say do 12 repetitions of a particular exercise, then you need a resistance level that challenges you to get through 12 repetitions. So for one person, that might mean I use a 10-pound dumbbell, right? And so to do that exercise with a 10-pound dumbbell, when I get to my 12th repetition, wow, it's really hard to do. I might be able to do a couple more if I really tried, but 12 is pretty hard, okay? But for another person, that might be a 50-pound dumbbell, right, in order to get the same challenge. So you select the weight or the resistance level that becomes challenging for you to do those 12 repetitions on. And so when it comes to the resistance bands or the tubing, the resistance bands come in different colors, and kind of each manufacturer has its own color scheme, but the colors indicate different resistance levels. And so that's why I recommend people, purchase two different levels or colors of resistance bands so that they, as they get stronger, they can challenge themselves more, but also that different muscles are stronger than other muscles, right? So you don't necessarily expect to use the same color resistance for all your different exercises, because some muscles are going to be stronger and some muscles are going to be weaker naturally. So you need at least to have some different levels to choose from.
Okay, that makes it more understandable. And as you say, it's easier to get the bands rather than get the dumbbells to test out what works for you. So that's another right. advantage to that. Yeah.
Now, another key aspect to resistance training that I want to hit on before we go is this idea of progressing. And so the body and the muscles work by a concept called overload, and that is, if you want your body to improve in some way, then you've got to challenge it more than it's used to being challenged, right? So if you don't do anything with exercise and you start some walking, then you're going to get better, but you're not going to turn into an elite athlete just by doing some casual walking, right? So wherever you are, you need to challenge yourself more than what you're doing if you want to get better. So when it comes to strength training or resistance exercise, if you're not doing anything and you start a program, then you're going to get the benefits from that program. You are going to get stronger. And we know that people even past 100 who start a resistance training program, they get stronger with it. It works. So you're going to get stronger. But then you're going to find out, okay, well, I'm doing, let's say, a 10-pound dumbbell for an arm curl. And when I first started, man, I could barely get to that 12th repetition. Now I get to 12 and it's pretty easy. Well, the only way that you're going to keep getting stronger is then if you go up in weight and you choose a heavier resistance. So now you need to go to that 12-pound or that 15-pound dumbbell. Now it's going to be heavy again, right? Maybe you can only do 10 because you increase the weight. Well, that's okay because, again, your muscle is going to get stronger. You'll adapt to it, and then you can go up to another resistance. A mistake a lot of people make that I have to correct all the time is that they want to keep doing more repetitions, and they think that's the way for them to get stronger. So if they can do 12, well, if 12 is good, 15 is better. If 15 is good, 30 is better, right? And they keep adding more and more repetitions, and that's not the way to get stronger. The way to get stronger and to improve is to stay in that 12 repetition area, and as you get stronger, choose heavier and heavier resistance. So that's either a heavier dumbbell or a different resistance band, or adding something to your body weight to make it more challenging.
So the indicator for them might be that, perhaps this is getting a little easier than it used to be, so maybe I'll at least try out a little heavier resistance just to see how well I do. Is that how you approach it? Because there's not necessarily a moment where suddenly you realize it's time to change.
That's right. There's not a specific moment. You do just notice. Well, there kind of is, because a lot of times you'll be struggling along and you're going through your routine, and then you do it one day and you go, "Wow, that wasn't as hard as I remember." Well, that's a good time to say, "Okay, well, next time I need to go up in weight a little bit." And if you just kind of track your progress, you don't have to keep a whole exercise log. But I like people to at least make a notation of, because if I do 10 pounds today and I realize that's not heavy enough, well, I need some sort of reminder when I come back my next time to do a little bit more. So if you make a little note, hey, do 12 pounds next time, it helps you to remember.
Okay, and you mentioned an exercise log. Where would someone find something like that?
Again, if you Google that, you will come up with some samples. But what I really like to do, it's very simple to just go into Excel, if you have Microsoft Excel or some other spreadsheet, and you can very quickly and easily just make up your own log. And I typically do this for people. It's also something that I'm not sure how you would get to people, but I could submit some sample logs, you know, to you, yeah, that you could let people have. And again, they would be examples, but then people could, you know, modify.
Well, this has been really interesting, and gives me some food for thought that I can start using on myself. So thanks, Cody.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to this BloomerBoomer.com podcast with health and fitness expert Cody Sipe, PhD. Cody's also the creator of the groundbreaking Never Grow Old Fitness Program, a follow-along functional exercise program for 55 to 75-year-olds. You can get your own copy of his Never Grow Old Fitness Program by clicking on the link at BloomerBoomer.com. Finally, we'd love it if you'd register to receive our BloomerBoomer.com newsletter with more of Cody's articles and tips about exercise in your life. Thanks again.